welcome in to the Email Design Podcast, where we talk about the latest in email design and development. We are your hosts for today's program. I am Kevin Mandeville.
And I am Jason Rodriguez.
And on today's podcast, we're going to be talking about some Comcast rendering with their email clients, a little new tweak to Outlook and how they are receiving email, and some cool CSS filters in email. But we're going to kick things off. Let's start off with some iOS 10, Jason. Huh? That's some big news.
Sounds good to me. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of iOS and iOS mail and stuff, so I'm always up for a good iOS discussion.
So a few episodes back, we talked about the beta version of iOS 10, but it's now officially launched out there in the masses. And so we just kind of wanted to review everything that's out there in the wild right now and sort of what to expect. The big thing that we talked about before, which still holds true, is sort of the list unsubscribe with the unsubscribe message being shown up at the top. Nothing much really changed there from that perspective. Out in the Litmus blog post, you can read everything on it, but that's there at the top. So you're just going to have to learn to live with it. And you might see some unsubscribe rates go up, but not necessarily a bad thing for list hygiene, things like that. So, but nothing really changed too much there from the beta to the official launch. Video and email is still supported. So that was showing in the beta and that's finally come through. So that's great news, Jason. This bumps up video support to about 30% or so.
Yeah, which is great, but it should be noted that it's doesn't play inline videos, right? It opens it up in its own kind of video screen. So we can't technically do things like we did with a background video email. But if you do want to include those emails there, then it will still pop that open and let you view it, which is pretty cool.
I haven't tested it yet. I know that's the case on the iPhones, but I've actually seen some reports that the iPad might be displaying it inline.
Oh, nice.
We need to check on that, but that would make sense if it's a bigger environment. You could just play it inline, which would be really nice. But yeah, that's sort of the traditional and probably what most users are viewing, opening the email on anyway. So that's the important behavior to note. One of the big issues we talked about was this auto-scaling issue, and that still does exist. It's not as bad as it was in beta, but there's still some edge cases. The things that you want to do to make sure when you're dealing with that, make sure you put a padding of zero on your body tag. And one of the best things that came out about this is Remy Parmentier, who had filed this bug in his GitHub issues, an Apple Mail engineer, James Magahern, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, he actually commented and let us know that there's an actual meta tag that we can use. So we can use meta name equals x-apple-disable-message-reformatting. So if we use that, that can basically override and disable the auto scaling that's happening inside the emails, which is great, Jason. This is just essentially sort of like the blue links issue that we can use. And how amazing is it that an Apple Mail engineer, like we're actually, there's all this communication happening now back and forth between the email development community and actual email client developers and product people, which is great. Other quick things, really sad to see no more iframes. So even though you probably weren't using it before and it has limited support in many clients, you could use it to pass through HTML and CSS for dynamic content. That's no longer good. A bigger deal, I think, is the loss of position fix. So you can't do any cool fixed positioning things in email. So you can't have like a nav bar or something fixed, which we've seen many cool examples, Jason, in the community of that stuff. So we're losing out on that support, which is a bummer. Hopefully that will come back in time. Some of the best news though, media queries stay exactly the same. The device sizes are all the same. So the media queries are the same and I don't believe the pixel density is, changed at all either. So you don't need to do anything. I know for iPhone 6, it was like this massive change, right? With all these new media queries. Don't have to worry about that. Perhaps my favorite change, though, you can actually target iOS 10 mail. And thanks to Remy who found this, you can use @supports and then -webkit-overflow-scrolling with the value of touch and color. You can do hexadecimal FFFF. And basically what this is doing is that this is saying for what supports WebKit overflow scrolling of touch, which is a proprietary property of iOS, and then iOS 10, which only supports the hexadecimal values of RGBA color notations. So for those two things, support combined together, that targets iOS 10. So if you're trying to do something like use HTML5 video, It's only going to be supported in iOS 10. If you go back to iOS 9, 8, it's still not supported. So you can use CSS like this to target it. So those were some of the key things sort of as the iOS 10 mail update. There were some settings, you know, we can delete the mail app now, like we talked about before. You can adjust the preview text or images by default, but a lot of that is rather minor compared to everything else. But so some good things, some bad things, but just important to sort of note all that stuff. Jason, did you have any key takeaways from it?
I mean, I think it's just nice to note that even with the drop of things like iframes and position fixed, that iOS Mail is still such a superb email client, and the rendering is really, really good. So I don't think even with losing some of that support, you're still in a good position if you have a lot of iOS 10 mail users. So nothing too much to worry about for your email designers there. Moving on to a different email client, over on the Litmus blog, we actually announced support for Comcast email accounts in Litmus previews, as well as email analytics, I believe. But Jaina Mystery over on the blog did this great breakdown of what email designers need to know about Comcast email clients. Comcast is a huge ISP in the U.S. You might not have a ton of Comcast email addresses in your database, but chances are you're going to have more than a few. So she just kind of broke down what everybody needs to know about Comcast and how it renders emails. And really, there's not any like major surprises. It's a webmail client. It works pretty similar to things like Yahoo Mail, AOL Mail. But there are a few things that you should note. One of the biggest is that while it displays images by default, people can set that to disable images, so your images wouldn't be shown. But they don't support alt text on disabled images. That being said, you know, we still kind of recommend people to always use alt text whenever possible for other clients that disable images. There's some good things. They support animated GIFs, which is absolutely fantastic. We're huge fans of animated GIFs in email. So if you want to add a little bit of movement to your email campaign, you can rest easy knowing that it's supported in Comcast email clients. It doesn't support background images, which is kind of sucky, but you know, it's kind of hit or miss for background images support in email anyways. But it's something we use fairly often at Litmus. So it's kind of sad to see that Comcast doesn't support background images. And it also doesn't support web fonts. Other than that, it's pretty good for the most part. It has support for things like CSS3 border radius and transitions, which is awesome. So you can do some kind of cool effects using CSS animations in there. But there are the major issues. I know, Kevin, you did this testing a lot more thoroughly than I did. But the major issues you noted were actually in versions of the Comcast webmail viewer in Internet Explorer, correct?
Yes.
That we ran into issues where the major thing is it didn't support max width, the max width CSS property, which is potentially huge if you have a large audience of Comcast subscribers, because if you're using that kind of hybrid or fixed to fluid approach, as you like to call it, Kevin, then you're relying on that max width CSS property constrain the width of your emails. So that technique isn't going to work in Comcast in Internet Explorer. So that's definitely something to know. You might want to look at a different approach, like I get the feeling that Mark Robbins, kind of that table of your dreams, that fixed width inner cell approach might work a lot better. But if you are using hybrid, then that's like one of the major things you want to note there. And you tested too, and you found that not all CSS that was embedded in the head of the email was displayed properly. So this is one of those instances where inlining styles might be more beneficial. More and more people are talking about this, especially with the news that Gmail is going to be supporting embedded styles. They've started to roll out those changes. But this is one of those clients, Comcast and IE, where inlining styles might still be necessary. Was there anything else that kind of cropped up to you, Kevin?
No, yeah, just note that Internet Explorer, it seems like it might actually be a different processor. And I know there's obviously differences between browser rendering, but it seems like it might actually render items differently. I haven't tested extensively. I just tested in Litmus. So just important to note that and check it out. If it's important to your audience, looking at your analytics or whatnot, you might see some quirks, some differences there. In terms of the fluid stuff, that just might mean you have to wrap it in its own separate div again that has a fixed width on it that you overwrite for other clients. You might be able to do something like that. Otherwise, the three table cell approach, like you said, might work better. Just it's interesting to note sort of this client, when you take into account the Internet Explorer version and then Firefox and Chrome, this probably spans like one of the largest gaps between terrible support to amazing support of like animated CSS and even interactive type elements, which is unreal.
But
most of you probably aren't going to have to worry too much about it given your audience. It's probably a relatively low usage client, and hopefully that's even more so the case with the Internet Explorer version. All right, we're just going to take a quick break, let you know. You can check the podcast at emaildesignpodcast.com. Full show notes and links to every single episode of the podcast, full archive. It's all right there. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. So be sure to subscribe. Make sure you get the podcast as soon as it hits the interwebs. You can tweet along with the hashtag emaildesignpodcast. We'll finding you there, answering any questions you have. If you want to see anything for us to talk about on the show. And we have a great 14-day free trial of Litmus. You can go to litmus.com/giftcard and input the coupon code podcast for 14 days of free Litmus. And you can even test in this lovely little Comcast email clients that we have now. So you can see what it looks like there. You can see what it looks like in iOS 10, which is coming soon. We don't have it quite yet. Coming very soon, though. And over 50 different other email clients. Just making sure your email looks great before it gets sent out. So just go to litmus.com/giftcard and input the coupon code podcast to give Litmus a spin. All right, I want to get into some Outlook news now. Not necessarily the biggest news when it comes to rendering, but just important to note for marketing. Outlook has actually come out with the focused inbox. This used to be a feature that they had called Clutter. And this is sort of essentially taking a page from Gmail tabs almost. And it's adding the tabs concept into the Outlook email client. So what happens now is that in your email client, and this is happening both in the apps and in the webmail client, it has a focus tab. So you can have the most important emails that matter to you come up in the focus tab, and then everything else will fall into an other tab. So it's essentially two different types of tabs, and you can set what emails you want to be focused or not be focused. Mm-hmm. And it sort of gives you control that way. So you should start seeing this update. I don't know if it's rolled out completely everywhere, but you can start to see it in all the various email clients of sort of the Outlook.com type of family, Outlook apps, et cetera. So it's interesting how Outlook is moving to sort of this tabbed approach, Jason, of, you know, filtering your emails.
Yeah, I've actually used this a lot on my iPad. I use the Outlook app, and it's had that focus tab in there for a while now. And I've actually been really, really pleased with it. I Gmail does a good job on like the webmail interface of kind of sorting things according to their tabs and stuff. But I like the focus approach. It's a lot simpler to understand. And they actually do a really good job of bubbling up important conversations and not putting any sort of marketing stuff in there or anything like that. But it is interesting that more and more of these email clients are moving to this kind of filtered approach to email that was, kind of pioneered by people like Mailbox and Inbox for Gmail and all that kind of stuff. So it's definitely interesting news, just something to keep aware of. The thing that I found kind of interesting, too, was when they're talking about it on the Office blog, is this at mention support where you can mention somebody by their name and using the little at symbol, kind of like on Twitter. I get the feeling that it wouldn't be useful in marketing, but I'm curious. I kind of want to test it out and see if there's a way to use that in email marketing so that it kind of pops up in that focus tab naturally. But I thought that would be kind of fun to play around with, just haven't had the opportunity to test it out yet.
Huh. That's actually a super interesting idea that I had not thought of when looking at it.
Because it says it looks at the body of the email, and if there's an at mention of somebody and they happen to be in your contact list, then it will bubble that into the focus tab. So I wonder if you could like use that to the recipient, because you know your recipient's email address, somehow kind of like naturally work that into the body of your email, and that might ensure that it will end up in that focus tab. That being said, I haven't tested anything myself, but that kind of idea popped in my head when I saw
that. Yeah, no, that's a really cool concept of trying to get users engaged maybe in a non-conventional way. And that would be really cool. Might have to think of ways about how to segment and target those users, but very interesting concept. I would say what I would recommend against, Jason, is people should not be trying to force their way into the focus tab, similar to how when Gmail introduced tabs, everybody was like, oh, you know, drag the email into, you know, your primary tab.
Everybody had an alert or something somewhere in their email, like right after that.
Right after that. And they were sending like dedicated emails about it. Where that was the only purpose of the email. I don't think marketers should be taking that approach for this. That's sort of the wrong way to look at it.
Yeah, definitely. As with anything, you know, make sure your content's good and valuable and relevant to your subscriber, and the rest kind of takes care of itself. So yeah, definitely wholeheartedly agree with that advice, Kevin. Cool. The next thing we're going to talk about is, this is actually a really cool kind of test concepts from the TMW email team. They published this great article on Medium. I think it was Jennifer Burks was the author, talking about CSS filters in email. This is something that even the web is just now kind of coming around to, these CSS filters with a CSS filter property. But it's this these techniques for using CSS to pull off some really interesting image techniques without having to like pop open Photoshop and save a static image that way. So it kind of lets you to do almost, I like to think of it as like Instagram filters via CSS, which is really, really cool. So there's this great blog post that kind of walks you through exactly how to use that filter property, which in all of their examples, it's always prefixed with the WebKit prefix. So it's dash WebKit dash filter, and then whatever CSS properties within that, depending on the filter that you're actually using. But some really great examples that you could, you know, use right now today in your email campaigns. The one I really like is they use the WebKit filter blur property, which blurs an image, and they set that with a keyframe animation so that over, I think it's 7 seconds in this case, it goes from a blurred image to a nice, crisp, regular image, which, as they mentioned, would be great for like a product reveal or something like that. So really cool concepts with CSS for manipulating your images with these filters. And it has decent support, actually. It's supported in Apple Mail and iOS Mail, which is no surprise there. But it's also supported in Android Mail 2.3, Android 4.2, as well as AOL Mail on Chrome, and then Outlook, the Mac versions, 2011, 2015, because again, those are using those WebKit rendering engines. But some really cool concepts that I kind of want to play around with this kind of stuff and see what kind of cool effects you'd come up with just using CSS for your images.
I like the description. It's like, you know, CS or Instagram for CSS, sort of. That's a good description of it. I mean, the key thing to remember is WebKit is at 51% of the rendering market share. So this is going to be supported in a lot of those email clients. So, you know, you can often do more in email than you typically think, right? And WebKit is really the large driver of that. One thing I would just note in the post, too, again, if you're using attribute selectors, please move away from that, especially with the Gmail update. That's an old hack around Yahoo Mail and media queries. We do not need to be using attribute selectors in our CSS anymore. Just use regular CSS definitions and declarations. So nothing fancy there. Otherwise, you might be sort of getting into some issues. But yeah, it's really cool. I really like the blur concept. I actually think there's a lot of cool applications for blur. Maybe not as much for color filters, just because you do have to sort of create a fallback anyways for that potentially. But I think blur could be a really cool enhancement for how you implement it, sort of like that example you showed.
Yeah, I think the color filters would be, the example they give was very... it's very in your face. It was a picture of John Travolta from Saturday Night Fever, and then it used filters to cycle through colors fairly rapidly, so it looks like you're in a club. But I think if you use it subtly, then I think it would be really interesting to use those color filters, because it would give it more just like a really soft kind of animation look to it. So it's something that's more close to like a cinegram or something, like a cinemagram. So I think you could do it tastefully like that. But yeah, again, that blur filter would be ace on a lot of different applications. And this is great. It's one of those things that falls back really gracefully. If it's not supported, then you just get that static image. So you don't have to worry about really complicated fallbacks or anything like that. So this is one of those great things you can use to progressively enhance campaigns, especially for WebKit clients that support it. Moving on to some sad news for some people. I know Alex Kelly is going to be very, very sad to hear this. But BlackBerry recently announced that they are quitting the hardware smartphone business a staggering $372 million loss. I don't think this is a huge surprise to anybody, really, because BlackBerry's been in a state of decline for the past, 4 or 5 years, something like that. So no huge surprise, but they finally announced that they're getting out of the hardware game. So for all those BlackBerry fans, no more new BlackBerry devices for you.
No, we'll still have to support the OS or any type of apps that they use. But in terms of the hardware itself, it was nice knowing you, BlackBerry. You had a good run. And yeah, let's just have a moment of silence for Alex Kelly, because she is mourning. She's in a state of loss right now. And but apart from that, I don't think much of anybody else really cares.
Exactly. Yeah, it's interesting to know they are still continuing on as a company and devoting all their time to software. So who knows? Maybe they'll have the next big email client that's on a bunch of different operating systems. We'll have to start worrying about that. So we will see. Best of luck to you at BlackBerry. We'll keep an eye on you. We'll check it out every once in a while. All right, that kind of takes us to the end of the episode, where we like to discuss our favorite email of the week. And this is actually an older email, but a fantastic one that I've actually used in a bunch of different presentations. All of my workshops from this past round of email design conferences have this email as a great example of a really well art-directed, unique email campaign. And this is from our friends over at Collaborative Fun. This is their email newsletter called Featuring. They send this out, I believe, monthly, but it's always one of the best design email campaigns that hits my inbox. This one is kind of put over the edge because this is this fantastic paint by number graphic that's an animated GIF right up at the top, this huge GIF that has this learn something new copy, but it's designed like those old paint by number books that we all remember from our childhood, that slowly fills in and stuff and creates that full color graphic. But on top of that, just the design is always fantastic. It feels more like a print design or a magazine than what you would typically expect from an email. It has bright colors, really bold typography, great imagery, all that stuff. And to top it off, that most of that is accomplished via just simple HTML and CSS styling. So most of the text is live text, which is awesome. And it's just using, you know, those kind of font properties like size and color and whatever, you know, and putting those together and making this really unique campaign. And it's responsive too. So that's awesome. This is, one of my all-time favorites. I love this campaign.
Yeah, we had to feature it. I know Alex Kelly put it down as her favorite newsletter. Yeah. It's been on our favorite like newsletter from a design perspective forever. It's just so unique. So this is out of the box email design, and it leaves a lasting impression. I look forward to opening this every single time. And just, this one, especially with the header, the hero area with that animated GIF at the top. I don't even want to know how long it took to make that, first of all. I mean, it's not just like a basic little coloring thing. I mean, it's pretty complex. But it's just super nice. Really big, bold typography, bold colors. And it just, everything works. And like you said, for this to not just be like an image-based email, this is live text, real images, and it's responsive. And the thing, it looks great on massive screens. If you scale down to be smaller, it's just really, really nice. So, I love getting this every single time when this newsletter hits my inbox. And I think this one has to be like, I think one of the best ones that they've done.
Yeah, absolutely. This is one of those. I always encourage people to think of email more from like an art director standpoint and see what you can accomplish that way than doing like crazy development techniques and stuff, which are useful in some circumstances. But just rethinking the design and stuff and thinking about it more like print or brochure design or something that's really eye-catching. I think this is one of those perfect examples of a company doing it really, really well. Even the colors and stuff are perfect. They have the colors. It's like a pink, turquoise, lighter turquoise, and yellow for that fill-in or paint by numbers hero GIF. But those colors are used throughout. Those graphics are used to break up the different sections of the email. So it's this really cohesive example of a really well art-directed email. So definitely check it out. We'll put it in our show notes, and hopefully it'll inspire you to create some really unique email campaigns yourself.
And definitely subscribe to get their emails, because they're hotness. So we'll try to find a subscribe link maybe for them as well, because they're that good. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. Remember, go to emaildesignpodcast.com. Check out every single episode of the podcast and catch all the show notes, everything we discuss here in the program. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. And tweet along with the hashtag Email Design Podcast. We're following along there. And go to litmus.com/gift card. Input the coupon code podcast for free 14 days of Litmus. Jason, we still haven't figured out a new tagline, man.
Yeah, I guess at this point, we should just combine them. So it's like, keep creeping, write some HTML. Who knows? we need to think something up. So yeah, hit us up on Twitter if you guys have any ideas. We would love to hear them.
Yeah, we need this Gmail rollout to be done.
Yeah.
That's like, we're in like a state of transition here. Yeah, we're stuck. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I guess until next time, keep your tables aligned and your styles in line for now.